Very good. We are free. We are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a great time. Well, we got a great service prepared for you this morning. It's going to be a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It always is. We've got the Lake family here. They're going to be singing to us. We've been having great meetings since Wednesday. Okay, good singing. I should say great music and preaching. Okay. But the preaching, I think the preaching was pretty great as well. So let's all just continue to pray that we'll have great meetings this morning. And also, don't forget, we've got Chicken on the Grounds today. The activities start at 3 o'clock just out here at the back, so come on out and join us. The chicken, I'm told, is going to be served around 5 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. I mean, preaching and singing and food and all kinds of great things. And you know what? Let's make sure that God's there first, okay, and make him the big thing. All right, I'll have the men come forward at this time. We'll take this morning's offering. And it's good to have all our guests and visitors here. It's always good to see new faces and old ones coming back. Brother Rob Chernowski, if you'd pray for today's offering.
Lord, thank you for coming to spend here. How was the day, Lord, that you came to our hearts?
Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Well, I hope this isn't your first time with us this week, but if it is, I want to introduce to you the Lake family. This is Pastor Brandon and his wife Leanne Lake, and they're from Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. They pastor the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. They've been with us all week, doing a great job preaching, and we've been blessed by their singing. They're going to come and sing a few songs for us right now.
Amen. It has been our pleasure to be here. And we're looking forward to chicken. Amen. Let me find all the stuff I need for this. We enjoyed our time here last year. We were here for the National Pastors Conference, and we had a great time. And I've got to just mention the great hospitality that's been shown to us by the church. And I'm not sure who it was or if they want to take credit, but somebody around here has good taste in cupcakes. And they left us a couple, and so we had them the other night, and just everything's been great, warm reception by you folks, and we sure do thank you for it. And there's very few things that I'd like to take me away from my own church on Sunday, because we have such a great time there, but we're glad to be able to spend some time this week and this Sunday with you folks, and hope that we can be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's do How Great It Is. We serve a great God, amen, and sure am glad that he's my Savior. How great it is to serve a living God. listened as a man cried out to his God of earth and stone. And it broke my heart to see all the tears he shed alone. And I knew that it was hopeless and he would not receive an answer from the God he served, that he could not hear or see. So I fell like so many times before, and I only asked my God to hear my feeble prayer once more. And it seemed like the heavens just opened up, and I could hear him say, "Yes, my child, so glad he's real. Amen. So glad he's real. You know, that gospel would not be complete without the resurrection. Amen. And that's what separates our God from all the others. Amen. He is alive and he's ready to save today. Jesus saves.
Breaking, night is breaking. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves.
Amen, amen, he sure does. Amen, do that's God. Amen, I'm still glad he saves today, aren't you? I'm still glad that the power that was in the blood when it was shed on the old rugged cross is still powerful today. Amen. You know, a lot of times the things of life, they pass us by, and we don't put God in his rightful place, recognize him for all of his blessings. And this song just brings up a few of the blessings of God and reminds us that in all those things, it was God. Amen. Many times do you wonder how you made it this far? That was God. And when you realize it wasn't as bad as it seemed, that was my God. When you were sitting all alone with not a friend to talk to, suddenly a stranger calls with words that uplift you. When it seems help just came from out of the blue, that was my God.
Oh, that's God, he's walking through my darkest night. His spirit is descending with power and might. His love, it surrounds me and it wraps my soul safe and tight.
Sickness, brother, that was God. Yes, it was. And when you had no money, but someone provided, that was my God. When you were hungry and tired, but no rest could be found, now there's food on your table and a place to lay down. My friend, look at all of your blessings, brother.
A song, give them a little break. They'll come back and sing a couple more. 118. Let's stand together as we sing. The way of the cross leads home. 118.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the one single way.
Well, I hope the Lakes have been a blessing to you this week. They've been a blessing to me. I appreciate their friendship so much. About 3 years ago in May, we were traveling. We were in Nova Scotia, and we came across this little church, Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. And I was preaching there that night. And we had some, how many of you remember Alfred and Sheridan Norton, the Norton family? They used to sit right over here, and their boys grew up in our teen group. And they were living out on the East Coast in Bear River. And so that night, they came over to the church to hear me preach, and they brought Mrs. Cuthill with them. Mrs. Cuthill was about 95 years old at the time, and she has since gone home to be with the Lord. And I remember in that little church with just a few people, she was turning her hearing aids down because the whole church just sang. And man, just filled that place with music. And we had just a wonderful time, and God knit our hearts together that night, and he's been my friend ever since. And we've just had a great time of fellowship this week. I want you to get to know this family when you get a chance and come by and talk to them, see them. They do have some CDs if you'd like some good music in your home. That'll be a blessing to you. Somebody said they sound a bit like country singers. Well, I figure there might be a few country folk in heaven. Amen? They get to go too. So let's welcome the Lakes back, and folks, come sing a few more for us.
Doing it. It's the first time we've ever really done it like that, and we had a good time. And when I got here, I told my wife when we were getting ready to come, I said, we better bring all my suits and my ties. I said, we're going to Bethel, so we got to wear that suit and that tie. And we got here, and Pastor Fury said, no tie. And then they put this microphone on me. And I think it was Brother Judge said, you think it'll make you sing like Garth Brooks? So that's all I've been doing, just trying to live up to Brother Judge's expectations. And not really, but we have had a great time. And let me just say this, I really enjoyed the teenagers. We had a good time last night, and it's hard, you know. Teenagers, they have a hard road in this life, and they face a lot of things that we didn't when we were teenagers, you know. And so I want them to know that I love them and that I'm praying for them, and we'll be praying for you when we go back home. And we want to sing this song. I love singing songs that just thank God for all his goodness, because really, when I look back at my life, I could pick out some hard times and I could pick out some this and that, but really I just have to thank him for all the good times. And God's face sure has shined on me a lot more than it's frowned on me, and I'm thankful for that. Amen.
Today I faced a mountain, once again it seemed so tall. I tried to climb, but it seemed I'd surely fall. So I knelt and I called on Jesus, just as always I felt his presence, his hand of mercy, it lifted me just in time. So I want to thank him, I want to praise him, his grace has been sufficient, and like before, it's given again. I come before him. One more time I'll stand to praise him for all his blessings. Yes, he has been so good to me. And I want to thank him. I want to praise him. His praise.
Amen. We've been singing this song a long time, and that doesn't mean I'll remember all the words, but we have been singing it a long time. But it's just another one of those thank the Lord songs. And then we're going to do one to finish out the singing part for the service, one that was asked if we could do it again, so we'll do that. But just again, like to thank the Lord for all He's done. Amen. I thank Him for what He's done in my life, and I'd like for it to be a whole lot more. I don't know how much, none of us knows how much time we have left. The Bible says, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I don't know what will be tomorrow, but I know what was yesterday. God was good to me yesterday, and I know what is today. God's been good to me today. And I'm so thankful for the call that He's placed in my life. Paul called the preaching the high calling of God. And I'm so thankful for it. So this song kind of tells a story, and one of the young people asked for it. And you know, when they do, I like to try and do it as much as I'm able to be able to do that. And this song means something to me because it's kind of like a bit of my testimony, as I already told the folks that heard it already. And so this song's called True to the Call. Thank you. I saw him out on the first day of August. It was 1963. A little boy playing on a hot Sunday morning. I saw him, but he didn't see me. He and his friends were playing church that day, singing songs they'd learned in Sunday school. Johnny was standing at a cardboard pulpit, preaching a sermon on the golden rule. And I know he was thinking, this is what I want to do. The years had flown by, and the Lord had saved Johnny. I believe he was just 16. He first heard the calling in a summer revival. I saw him, but he didn't see me. He reached the altar while the preacher prayed, and I saw his tears begin to fall. He prayed in a whisper, "Lord, I'll preach if you want me." The people were singing, "I surrender all." And I know he was thinking, "I have to be true to the call." And he preached through the good times and bad times. Wherever God led, he would go. And he reached many people for Jesus. They loved him more than they'd ever know. Brother John always carried his King James Bible, and he witnessed to the great and the small. If he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call. One Sunday morning, it was many years later, I learned Brother John had gone home. He preached until his last days the only true gospel, the dream of that boy long ago. He fought a good fight, and he had kept the faith, never compromising through. What he learned in his childhood, just as Timothy once heard from Paul, and I know that he was always true to his call. And he preached through the good times and bad times, wherever God led, he would go. And he many people for Jesus. They loved him more than he'd ever known. Brother John always carried his King James Bible, and he witnessed to the great and the small. If he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call. If he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call.
preach to us now. We're so thankful to have our Sunday school and junior church children in here today, and I thank you if you've adopted one, and they're sitting out throughout our auditorium. It's good to have our whole church family together, and I want to encourage our young people. Now the preacher's coming to open up the Word of God to us, so we're going to sit up straight, we're going to open our Bibles, we're going to listen, and we're going to behave, and I know he won't keep you real long, but this is what church is all about, to come and hear from the man of God preaching to us from the Word of God. So we want you to pay attention, all right? Thank you so much.
Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John in chapter number 5. John in chapter number 5. I sure am glad they have a glass of water here. We don't want dry preaching this morning. Amen. John chapter 5. I'll try not to keep you long this morning. The message is an important one. It's an important one for the church. We need to hear it. It's an important one for the lost. They need to hear it. I sure am thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. I sure am thankful that He was willing to go all the way to Calvary for me and for you. And I'm thankful this morning that salvation never runs out. Amen. The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so if you're lost here this morning, He's here for you. Amen. In John chapter 5, we have a familiar story here in verse number 1. And we're going to read just for a few minutes. It says here in verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. Lord God, I thank you that the gospel is as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. God, I thank you that you're still willing and able and desiring to seek and to save those that are lost. Father, may you impress upon us this morning the urgent need of the gospel being spread. Lord, it's a familiar story, and for some, maybe it's too familiar. Lord, may you restore to us the joy of our salvation. Lord, to recall to our minds the time when we were lost and in darkness. Father, when we were without hope and without God in this world. And that glorious day when the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ was shown into our hearts and illuminated us for the very first time. Father, call to our remembrance these things. And Lord, may we see others who need thee. God, I pray that you'd bless throughout the remainder of this day. Father, have your will in your way. Touch hearts as only you can, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to call to your attention over in verse number 3 in particular. The Bible says, In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, This pool of water here was kind of a special thing. It's not something you find today. You know, if you need fixing for what's wrong in your life, you don't need to go look for a pool. There's no Jordan River to wash in. There's no, water that can cleanse you. There's no water that can make you whole. But during this day, there was a certain season when an angel would come down and touch the waters, and whoever got in that water first was made whole. And we see here, of course, as it would be, there was a great multitude of sick people that gathered there at that place. And I don't know about you folks, but if I was sick in that day, if I was lame on my feet, if I was blind and couldn't see, I'm sure that I would be one of those who would make my way to that pool in hopes that I might be the first one to get into those waters. Now, my friend, aren't you so glad today that we don't have to go to any pool of water? Salvation's not in the baptismal tank, amen? Salvation's not down here in the river, and there's plenty to go around, amen? If you're sick here this morning, He can cure your sickness. If you're here this morning without hope and without God in this world, He's here for you today. But there was a day when the sick had to go to this place. And so when Jesus got there, it was observed that there was a great multitude of folks there. First of all, I'd have us to notice the stricken. Well, it's so easy, isn't it, to come into church this morning and we're all dressed in our suits and we're dressed in our Sunday best and ladies in their beautiful dresses and they've fixed their hair and we've done all that we can do to make ourselves look the very best that we can. But because of that, sometimes it is difficult for us to see the stricken, to see the sick, to see those who don't have the peace, who don't have the joy, who don't have the happiness that you and I have here this morning. But I'm telling you, there is a whole world filled with stricken people this morning. There's a whole world who does not have what you and I have. That's why we support worldwide missions. That's why we are given the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice this morning the stricken. We're instructed here to look upon the stricken. You know, it's difficult for me. I don't know how it is about you, but I remember the first time we went to New York City. And some of the things I saw as a teenager in New York City, I had never seen before. You got to understand, I grew up in small towns. Most of my teenage years, I grew up in Bridgewater, which is about 8,000 people. And then when I started pastoring Amazing Grace Baptist Church, we moved over there to a town of 1,000 people. You don't see a lot of poverty. You don't see a lot of neediness. Well, I remember as a child, just a young boy, my dad would take me down to the mission. He'd take us down to St. John, New Brunswick. In there, we would go to these homeless shelters. We would go to these places where people didn't have the same kind of things we had. And I remember the first time we went there, we took this tour through this mission station. And as we went upstairs into the bedrooms where these men slept, I noticed a hole in the wall. And I asked, "What is the hole in the wall?" And he said that last night, the guy who was in this room had tried to shoot the guy that was sleeping in this room. I'd never seen anything like that. I'd never seen people have to line up in a line hoping for a piece of bread, hoping for a bowl of soup. I'd always had supper on my table. I'd always been provided for. I saw some things that shocked me. I saw little children with hardly any clothes to wear. I saw little children. We used to go on bus ministry, and back in those days, we used to have to go in there, and sometimes dad would be drunk on the couch from the night before, and we'd have to go in there and get those children up, and we'd have to get them dressed and take care of them, and we'd have to stop at Tim Hortons on the drive-by and feed them breakfast. I'd never seen those things before. My friend, it's time that we step out of the comfortable pews and we step out of our comfortable suits and clothes, if you would, and we see this world for what it is. It's stricken with sin. It's a needy world, my friend. Did not Jesus say in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." I dare say there's some young, some old, We've never had to beg for a piece of bread. We've never had to wonder where our next meal was going to come from. We never had to wonder what we were going to wear that morning. But Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Oh, it's comfortable in here. Amen. It's nice in here. We have our group of friends in here. But my friends, beyond the walls of this church, there are stricken people. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look upon the harvest. It's white. It's ready. My friend, we must notice the stricken. Jesus' whole ministry was taken up with caring for the stricken. Just look back quickly with me, if you would. The first miracle Jesus performed there in Cana. Look, they were stricken with a need. They'd run out of wine. They'd run out of things to serve for their wedding. And Jesus happened upon that thing. And of course, Mary, you know, she said, well, I know somebody that can take care of it. You know what they were stricken with? They were stricken with a need. This world is stricken with a need, my friends. Oh, I'm so glad I found Jesus. I'm so glad Jesus found me. But for every one of us here this morning that knows Jesus, there's no telling how many thousands that don't know Him. This world is stricken with a need. In John chapter 4, we know Jesus dealt with that woman at the well. That woman was stricken with a thirst. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes on these hot summer days, we get stricken for a thirst. Just a drink of that cool, clear water. My wife and I, we've been traveling out to a meeting in Arizona for the past number of years, and I don't know how many have ever been out that way, but I'll tell you, it is dry. It is dry. You are hot, and you think you should be sweating, but your body doesn't sweat. Everything dries on you before your body can even make it sweat. It dries. It's crazy. You have to use lip balm, lip whatever. It's not lipstick. That's all I know. You got to use that stuff to keep your lips moist so they don't crack and bleed. And man, even your eyes dry out. It's dry. Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes you get thirsty for a drink of water. This world is thirsty. They don't even know it. That woman was thirsting there at the well that day. She didn't even know it till Jesus said, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. Then she realized, whew, I am thirsty. You ever had that happen to you? Didn't even realize you're thirsty till someone said, want a drink of water? I remember thinking that when I was sitting in your place and the preacher was up here and every once in a while he'd stop and take a sip and I'm thinking, I'm thirsty too, you know. This world's thirsty. In John chapter 6, there was a multitude that was stricken with hunger. They'd gone out there to hear him, and they didn't have anything to eat. You know this world's hungry, but they're filling themselves with the wrong thing. Or they try and fill themselves with, boy, I'll tell you, where we are, we just got a little town, 1,000 people. Our town, they're trying to fill their hunger for love with drugs. We got young people, and I'm sure it's no different here. They're peddling pot out of cigarette packages in schools. They're trying to find happiness in sex. They're trying to find happiness in drugs. They're trying to find happiness in alcohol. They're trying to find happiness in money and all those things. But I'm telling you, they're as hungry today as they were when they started searching. Those things can't fill you. My friend, it's about time we got out of our comfort zone and began to see a world that has a need. A world that is stricken with sin. In John chapter 8, Jesus came across the woman caught in adultery. She was stricken with sin. In John chapter 9, here it's this man with blindness. Everywhere Jesus went, people needed something. One day he came across the 10 lepers. One day there was a man let down through the roof. One day it was blind Bartimaeus on the highway side begging. My friend, this world is filled with stricken people. There's only one answer. That's not all I'd like you to see here in John chapter 5. Would you look at verse 4? Notice the stricken, but also notice this. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Isn't it interesting there that there was only a certain season that this angel went to that pool. I'd have us not only to notice the stricken this morning, I'd have us to notice the season. Folks, could I say this morning with a little liberty that today, now is the day. It is the season of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, the day for salvation is not tomorrow. The day for your salvation is not next week. The day for your salvation is not when the altar call is given. My friend, if you find yourself in need, if you see yourself as stricken, the time is now. Behold, it is the accepted time today. There was only a season when this angel would come to the pool. There was only a specific and very certain time that that angel would come and touch those troubled waters that a soul could be saved. And my friends, Jesus is coming again soon. And before it's too late, you ought to make a decision for Christ. Now is the season. It's not a season of tomorrow. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for just a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know what tomorrow could bring. Last year when we were here, we had to leave early because my dad fell off that roof and broke his back. Never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, probably know the verse. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Do you know, my friend, there is a harvest for sin. There's a season for sin. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, my friends." People that give their lives sowing to sin, fulfilling the lusts of their flesh, doing all those things that their flesh tells them to do. The Bible says that they will reap in themselves the recompense of their reward. You sow to sin, you will reap death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is a harvest, there is a season for sin. There is also a harvest that judgment provides. In Matthew 13, 39, it says, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." One day there is coming a reaping. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. My friend, there's a harvest. But oh, thanks be to God, I've read in His glorious word where there's also a harvest that the gospel provides. There is a harvest that Jesus provides. There is a season of salvation. In Psalms 126, it speaks of he that goeth forth and weepeth, now bearing precious seed, shall countless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. My friend, today could be the worst season of your life or the best season of your life, depending on who you choose. Notice in this scripture, listen, not only were they stricken there, but they understood there is only a season of salvation. Only a time. But we're told, you know, if we'll go and we'll sow that seed, we'll surely come again with rejoicing. There's a season of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's today. It's today. You know, when Jesus told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," He said, "Ye must be born again." It's not a think so, hope so, maybe so. It's a must so. Ye must be born again. If you're to have any hope, ye must be born again. If these sick folks were to have any chance of healing, they had to get down in that water. Notice the season. In John 5 and verse 6, look with me again if you would. We've seen the stricken. We've noticed the season. Would you notice with me this? It says, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." You know the greatest part of this whole thing? We see the stricken. We see the stricken. We see the season. It's today. Can I show you the greatest part of this story? Would you notice the Savior? Would you notice the Savior? You know, I got saved when I was 5 years old. I had a lot of people tell me, oh, you know, you can't really appreciate what it's all about. Do you know something I've realized in my life? God may not have had to save me from out of a lot of sin. I was a cookie stealer. Mom made good chocolate chip cookies, and I figured out at a young age they tasted good at 1 o'clock in the morning as they did 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was even better when she put them in the freezer and they were frozen and they just start to thaw. Problem was, it seemed like I always fell asleep after the first one. And the second one was beside me on the pillow. Well, in the morning, it didn't look like a cookie anymore. And the Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. God didn't have to save me out of a lot of sin. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm sure there's many here that may have the same testimony. I've never had a taste of alcohol. I don't need to be cool. I already know I'm not cool. Fat, bald, and all that is not cool. So, I never had a taste of alcohol. I've never touched a cigarette. I'm thankful for that. I never smoked pot. I never did any of those things. The only woman I've ever been with is my wife. Thank God for that. I didn't have to get saved out of a lot of sin. You know what God saved me? He saved me from a lot of sin. Well, I'm just the same flesh as everybody else. If it hadn't been for my Savior, there's no telling what I might be involved in. There's no telling where I might be. Do you know what I see about our Savior here? First of all, Jesus, it says Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. You know the first thing we have to do? We have to see them. We have to see them. When you look at somebody, what is the first thing you see? Is it the clothes they're wearing? Is it the way they've done their hair? What is the first thing you see? You know what Jesus saw about him? Jesus saw he was sick. And he needed to get well. Not only did Jesus see him there, it says he saw him lie. It also says, and knew. Jesus not only saw him, he knew him. He knew exactly what he needed, and no matter who you are here this morning, Jesus knows exactly what you need. If you're not saved here this morning, he knows you need him as your Savior. Maybe you are saved here this morning. He knows you need him not only as your Savior, you need him as your Lord. He knows. He knows. And then you'll notice it says, and he saith unto him, Jesus saw him, Jesus knew him, Jesus spoke to him. Oh, friend, how many times have we seen someone in need and just passed them by? We went up to Toronto yesterday, and for a Montreal fan, that was hard to do. Oh, that was... And we were walking down there by the Rogers Center, just looking around, and there was a man sitting there on the curb. Scruffy old beard, long scraggly hair, dirty, didn't have nice clothes on, holding the cup, just looking for some money. And as I walked by him, he said, good day, sir. I wonder what you see when you see people. Oh, that dirty old bum sitting there begging. Or maybe that's a soul that needs a Savior. Oh, you know, all those things went through my mind. I've heard the stories on the radio about professional beggars, how they travel in and they dress up like that. But just maybe he was a soul that needed Jesus. I said to my wife, I said, we don't see that every day, do we? Oh, my friends, if we could just see things the way Jesus sees them. If we could just know people like Jesus knows them. If we would just speak to them like Jesus spoke to them. Why is it in our Baptist churches full of saved people, we pass by that tract racked every Sunday, never one time occurs to us to reach over there, take one, because you just might see somebody who needs it. Oh, my friends, there's so many things we ought to see that we don't. We're so blinded by our own self-righteousness. We're so blinded by who we think we are and, oh, well, we've got it all made and everything's just, you know, great and we've got a good church and we've got a good pastor and we've got a good youth program and we got good kids Sunday school and we got good youth activities. But there's so many out there that don't. Could we see things the way Jesus saw them? Let me show you in conclusion in verse number 9. Says immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. My friend, can I show you finally, notice the salvation of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, we were driving, and I've never seen this before. We were driving, I have no idea where we were. I told Leanne, I said, let's shut the GPS off and let's just drive. So we just drove. We ended up in Chinatown. It was pretty interesting. And as we were driving along, we saw two ladies of the street. And as we were driving along, I said to Leanne, to my wife, I said, I've never seen anything like this. And as we were driving by, a man who appeared to me to be a Buddhist or a Hindu or something stopped at those two ladies, and he passed them something, and I don't know what it was, and then he just bowed like this and kept walking. It was strange to me. It was strange. I don't know exactly what was happening, but you know what I thought might have happened? Even he saw a need. It's a shame he probably didn't have the right message. It's a shame that he probably couldn't tell them of the glorious salvation. My friends, in almost every other religion, there's a process. There's a membership to something. There's a baptism that has to be done. There's a confirmation that has to be made. There's a catechism that has to be followed through on. But my friend, the salvation of this man, Jesus said, arise and walk. And the Bible says, and immediately he rose and walked. And my friends, thanks be to God, salvation is not a process. Salvation is an instantaneous transaction whereby man is reconciled to God, redeemed, justified, and forgiven all in one breath. And just in the moment that you call and believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Isn't it glorious? Salvation is not something you have to beg God for. Salvation is something he freely gave you. He freely offered to everyone whosoever will may come. It's a glorious salvation. And I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know if you're someone here who has that salvation. And what you need to do is open your eyes to see the stricken. Open your eyes to see the fallen. Open your eyes to see this world for who they really are, lost and without hope and without God in this world. Or quite possibly this morning in a crowd this size, you may be here and not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If that's you, my friend, he stands this morning with his arms open wide, ready to receive you. The Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. That Spirit of God is standing at the portals of heaven saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And may I say that anyone who is saved here this morning, the bride, the church of Christ, is also saying, come, take, drink of this water freely. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see things the way God sees them this morning? Would you stand with me as the pastor comes? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. May you do the work that only you can do at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This altar is open even now. If God has spoke to your heart, would you make your way out and come? The instruments are about to play. Maybe there's one here today. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die, I don't know where I'd spend eternity." Brother Lake mentioned that you don't have to beg for salvation, but you know that God is begging to give it to you. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." He's begging you. He's pleading with you to come today. He sent His Son to pay the price on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood to cover your sin, but you must come to Him and receive it today. Does there one say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I just don't know. Would you pray for me?" Would you just slip up your hand anywhere in this room? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Is there one? Maybe there's some here today say, "Pastor, I need to do a better job seeing people like Jesus sees them. Understanding that they're hurting and their souls that need a Savior. May we see through the eyes of Christ." Would you pray today? Would you make your way to this altar? Let's do business with God. We didn't invite Brother Lake all the way out here. He hasn't been praying for months about these messages for us not to do business with God. Let's take advantage of these opportunities God is giving us.